The other thing, I couldn't believe how much fun they had.
Oh.
I go, this is not the experience I had here. Every game they play was a learning game, and they learned something. But it was fun. All the kids were laughing, having a good time, and going.
Gene, let's call the meeting to order.
I'm still reliving my principal for a day. Okay. Gene Hernandez, and I'd like to call the executive committee meeting to order. It is now 9:31. And Meredith will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And we do have a flag. Yes, we do.
Please stand if you're able to.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Meredith. Colleagues, please be seated. Roll call would be by Dave, but he's not on the committee yet, so that happens next time when we vote him in. So that will be handled by, who wants to handle roll?
I can do it. I'll just read the tags.
Well, no, go right here.
Oh, you just got it?
Thank you.
There you go. Elaine Dunaway.
Present.
Gene Hernandez.
Present.
Meredith Cellini.
Present.
Evelyn Velez.
Excused absence.
Okay. And Barbara Sloat.
Present.
And Sandy Stang. Present.
Okay. We have a quorum?
Mm-hmm. We do.
Okay, public comment this time. I don't see any public in here because we barely could get in here, so the public isn't in. Okay, Office on Aging updates. Pauline?
So a couple of things. I know I said I would follow up on confidential marriages, maybe not to this group, maybe one of the other groups. I did reach out to our clerk recorder.
I'm sorry, what was that? Confidential marriages?
Okay, mm-hmm. It definitely wasn't this group.
Yes,
it was confidential marriages.
Senior citizens engagement.
Yeah, there is an issue. Do you guys know what confidential? Okay, so.
No, I don't.
All right. So a confidential marriage, this was raised by John Pointer, is a marriage that two people can enter into that is not a public record.
Oh, like a celebrity.
Like a celebrity.
Yeah.
Or seniors. Well, they're seeing.
Why would you do that?
Uh-huh. Well, okay, so let me explain. So there has been an uptick, apparently, in the amount of confidential marriages where you have perhaps, say, a caregiver or someone who preys on a senior, older adult, who may be, you know, in his or her, you know, late 80s, 90s, whatever age it is. And after becoming a caregiver, they convince the person to enter into this confidential marriage. And because they are married, then that person is entitled to all of his or her estate, or half of it.
Somebody had dementia, they could.
Yes. So, but they're using this mechanism very legally to do, to enter into this, to defraud, basically, people, older adults. There is a situation, I sat in on a meeting, and there is a situation, I spoke to a lawyer, she gave a presentation, and she said she has a case right now where this 86-year-old man married the caregiver off the books. She convinced him to do that, and she has now moved into his $7 million Coto de Casa home with her previous family.
Anna Nicole Smith.
That, well,
so is it more of a problem for the older adult or their family?
Well, obviously. I think it's more of a problem for both of them. First, you're having like older adults who are being preyed upon, and these are people who would probably pass a cognitive test and would legally be like in sound mind. And then
but they're
their
not
families
complain if they're being taken care of. If the person's showing love to them.
No, and but here's the problem: is their families know nothing about it. Their wills are all changed, so everything that you know. The now spouse is entitled to 50% of whatever, even if it's separate property, they're also entitled to a portion of the separate property that may have gone to the kids. So it's a huge issue, not a huge issue. It is becoming more prevalent among seniors right now. We can see there's a certain element of the population, like you mentioned, celebrities, public safety personnel, who may enter into, you know, confidential marriages for safety reasons for their family and don't want anyone pulling like, you know, the marriage license. But people have learned how to defraud the system and it's becoming an issue.
It sounds like an update basically on they used to change the will. Did to give the caregiver their money, and this is like a workaround.
Which they do.
Right.
Well, they're getting spousal rights.
Yeah, correct.
And this attorney also said, I guess there's one caregiver in the county who has married 5 times.
Yes.
And all of it's been legal.
Yes.
And now has gone to.
As a polygamist or separate?
Separate.
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 But they die pretty soon after she marries
and
them.
And she moves on to the next one.
So is there any paperwork or anything has to be filed?
No, the only thing they need is a notary public to say they are who they are.
So is there any laws coming about to change this or stop it?
That this law has been on the books since late 1800s.
Wow.
And it hasn't been touched. And while it may have been intended for very good reasons,
right,
it has morphed and changed.
It's being abused.
It's totally been abused. So I reached out to Hugh Wynn, is our clerk recorder. He does write the marriages and stuff. So I reached out to him and I said, hey, what do you know about, you know, confidential marriages? And I got this response back. It says, appreciate you reaching out to us. So far, we haven't encountered such situations. Very rarely, when someone is intoxicated, we ask them to return another day before concurring and signing under penalty of perjury on a marriage license. We issue the marriage license based on the requirements set by the California Department of Public Health. And if they do meet the requirements, we issue the license. Family Code Section 352, no marriage license shall be granted if either of the applicants lack the capacity to enter into a valid marriage or is, at the time of making the application for the license, under the influence of an intoxicating liquor or narcotic drug. Hope this helps.
That doesn't help at all.
It doesn't
solve the problem.
It doesn't.
Have you talked to the district attorney's office to see?
I have not.
But if they're alert and oriented and make their own decisions, that's pretty hard to navigate.
It is. Yeah. Unless the law is changed.
Right, right.
And it's not, you know, changing the law to ban confidential marriages. It's flipping the law to protect seniors and protect anybody who may be incapacitated, has a disability, from entering into such a legal, lawful.
Well, that would be the caveat you didn't read, that they would have to have some diminished capacity of some sort. But I'm thinking about an 89-year-old who's got all his faculties, and 26-year-old swoops in,
and his family's not around.
And his family's not around, or doesn't even know what's going on.
Well,
why should that prevent the 89-year-old from saying, "Yeah, but I love her. I want to marry her."
Yeah, but it's also a case of undue influence as far as who's going to take care of me. Well, this 26-year-old saying they'll take care of me. Maybe my family lives in another state or another town. So I'd rather have the person here.
But and that's not illegal. Like, you can't
stop
that.
It's not illegal, but
maybe unethical.
It's unethical, and there needs to be some protections for the senior so they're not being taken advantage of.
Totally agree. And I think John Poynter, in his role with CSL, is all over it. And they're looking to get some support from Assembly and Senate members to revisit this bill, put something together.
That's a slippery slope.
But what if they could just go have a regular marriage, and I wouldn't be looking at my dad's public records to see if he was married or not in California if I was in a different state. You know.
Yeah,
I mean?
But if you knew he got, see what's happening, the family doesn't know.
But they're not gonna check though, even if they had a regular marriage.
But what kind of influence can the family have though if I legally marry and I'm a sound mind?
Yeah.
Why should my family have a say in, Dad, we don't want you to marry her?
Because they want your money.
Well,
I know, but
they take care of him. She takes care of him until he passes. So he's not out anything. It's the kids are out there.
It's the adult children.
Yes, that's who's perceived out.
Yeah.
So actually, Assembly Member Davies mentioned this last night.
Okay, good, good. Because I told John to be in contact with her.
Okay.
Good.
Well, so has any older adults suffered?
Yeah, there's a couple who's fat. Well, the older adult, I can't answer that
question. I'm talking about the older adult, not the families.
Yeah,
yeah.
I can't answer that question.
Right. Well, that would be more of a legal issue that you could pursue. If the older adult was somehow manipulated, clearly taken advantage of.
But that's what the families are saying.
Well,
and it's harder to prove when the older...
They're not there. They want their money. That's what they
want. Well, you could have a problem if the person did that and then they abandoned the person they were caring for.
Right, there's the problem.
Yes.
Well, that's something else. Yeah, now you've got a good case.
They hastened their end of life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's murder. But I mean, the reality is...
No, it could be withholding care.
It could be.
Withholding food.
That would be a fine line. I'd call that manslaughter. But
how would you know?
You're in a house, who's going to know?
Otherwise healthy, and all of a sudden they die of starvation. I think they...
I guess for me, I see this more as a problem within family systems and not for older adults in a lot of cases.
But the older adult is part of that family system.
Yeah.
But the older adult is getting care. He's getting care.
Do you know that?
Well, that's something different.
Are they getting care up until the marriage?
Let's make the assumption that they're getting care. Even after their marriage, they're getting care. Of course, they're on a banana peel, 1 foot in the grave, they're ready to go. But they're getting taken care of. Because if I were the conniving wife, that's what I would do. Oh, he's happy. He's not complaining. As soon as he goes, boom, now she swoops in and takes everything.
I can see the arguments on both sides of it. I really can.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, I do err on the side of reviewing a law that's been on the books for 1800 and may or may not be, I don't want to say needed in certain circumstances.
But I'm missing something because I don't understand, like I said before, you could have a non-confidential marriage, which also happens in these situations, but the family most of the time is not going to look that up.
It's not a question of them looking it up. It's a I think it would be questionable to anyone with sound, reasonable mind. If my husband, God forbid all harm, if anything were to happen to me and my husband is in his 80s or 90s and he walks in with a 23-year-old and saying, this is my new wife, mm-hmm. I can tell you now, my son and daughter are going to look and go, okay, are you kidding me? Okay, what's...
Well,
but he could do that without making an announcement.
But here's the thing, it's...
Why is age the issue here?
I don't think it's age more than it is capacity, mental capacity. It's not the age. I think it's whether or not a person is in his or her sound mind to make that decision without undue influence. I mean, I would hope at some point, you know, to... If, God forbid, if anything were to happen and I personally wouldn't want to remarry, I might want to have a companion. I wouldn't care whether it was younger, if it was compatible, compatible.
Exactly.
But at the same time, I would tend to think, you know, I want to protect my family as much as he or she, if they have other families, would want to protect theirs. You know, and there's and the key is they're going to be protected.
Did exactly that. The wife ran off with all things a priest, and they're very Catholic. And so he's bitter. Well, then he ends up meeting this gal, and they end up getting married, and she's taking care of. She has kids. He has kids. Of course, her kids are getting all the inheritance. His kids got nothing. After he died, they got nothing. These other kids got everything, were taken well taken care of. She saw to it, her side of kids got taken care of. So I can see how that could get ugly. Well, and that should have been set up by an attorney, which he didn't do.
Well, and here the law is being abused to perpetuate fraud against either a senior or a family. And if you're going to get married, why hide it?
Up and down the state.
Well, that's how he died. No marriage.
I don't know exactly what the number is.
How do you know?
Well, but I know it has.
But you don't know either.
You know.
So it could have been great. So she's entitled to those assets.
He's hoping for it.
No. I'm just trying to make a logical argument.
I also think that this might be a little ageist, I have to say, on the other side of things, that we're assuming that these people are not being able to make their own decisions.
Yeah, but we're talking about ones that are able to make their own decisions.
Right, I know.
If Barbara Side say, I want a young
boy. As we know, isolation among seniors is a huge problem.
Yes.
And that's where someone comes in, and
they're
the family thinks they're still the caregiver.
They're susceptible.
But to your point, Meredith, when I volunteered as an ombudsman, we had this problem all the time, but I didn't ever hear of confidential marriage. The caregiver would just steal from them, change their passwords and everything,
that's
the same thing. But they weren't smart enough to know about a confidential marriage.
Well, let's just put it to rest with this. Susceptible for abuse.
It is susceptible for abuse. It is being looked into right now. So that's kind of, see what happens and how it all evolves.
Wow, that must have been a good meeting they had.
It was interesting. The second thing I wanted to bring up, I wanted to make sure you guys all got the information about the MPA kickoff meeting. And I'm hoping you all registered for it so yes. you can kind of get an idea yes. as to yes. how this path is all going to evolve.
We just hang on after our meeting, right?
No. That's the area plan.
Oh, what's
so
this one?
The master plan for aging, we're having a kickoff meeting next Wednesday, the 29th, from 10 to 11.
Online.
It's online. I sent you all the flyer, and you've got to go and register. You know, click on the link, register, and then we're all good. It shouldn't be more than an hour. It will start off with just an introduction from Claudia here in the office. Then we're going to bring in Advance OC, and they're going to go through the whole process, timeline as to what everyone's
Will that be recorded?
County master plan?
Yes, it is going to be recorded. Yes. So.
10 o'clock Zoom. Okay.
Yep. So, area plan for aging is coming up. The update is coming up on the 14th. Public hearing, so stay after the SCAC meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be going through that. I'm working on the presentation right now, so hopefully it'll
so
be
so much fun right now.
It's busy right now, yeah. to say the least. So yeah, I think that's about it from my end. So
that's good stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, discussion items. Let's discuss and review the role of at-large members of the executive committee. Well, we just put one of those to work, and that was Dave Tesloff. So
he wasn't part of the executive committee.
Wasn't he at large?
No.
No, he was a regular member of the.
Who's our at large?
Barbara.
Evelyn.
Sandy.
And Evelyn.
And Evelyn, yeah.
Good. So Evelyn's doing. Okay, so how do we want to define their role? I know what Evelyn's doing is our liaison with the centers, right? The senior centers. And Sandy. Sandy, what are you doing? And Barbara? Okay, so
that's
we have two availables.
I have no idea.
To use.
So in the past, in addition to the senior center liaisons, which you said Evelyn's doing, one at large did the presentation schedule, and another one was basically your ad hoc. So whenever we had a special task, and Dave in the past did that for the digital divide.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dave is filling Carolyn's
yes.
position, and she was the secretary.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, Sandy, would you be up for the, what about the ad?
Well, there was presentation schedule, and then the ad hoc.
Presentation,
yeah.
That's huge.
It is.
But I think, Meredith, you're doing that right now.
Yeah, I would like to not do as many things as I'm doing right now.
Yeah, so okay. She shouldn't have to. That should be, but I don't know, Barbara, if you'd be up for that. That's pretty hard. That's intense. That's somebody
well,
you really needs to know.
Split
folks.
It between two at large, and they either take other months or different tasks.
Would that work for you?
Well, that would be Barbara and Sandy splitting it.
We could do that, couldn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, because the ad hoc, you won't get that many things.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Okay, well, let's do that. Let's have the minutes reflect that Sandy and Barbara will be are splitting the project or the program presenters. And again, that's really something you can tap any of us and say, "Hey, Gene, can you get us in for this?"
You're really good.
Yeah, it's not something you have to do.
I was on Meredith's phone all the time.
There you go. That's fine. And you can, same with me. No, I have no issue with that. Because
a lot
we're
of, a lot
have
of the work
contacts.
Is following up to once you have them
yes.
booked. A lot of the
right.
work is, you
yeah.
know, do you
you're
have a PowerPoint?
There, yeah,
are you going to
exactly.
be there? As my friend Pauline knows, it's like herding cats. So that's a lot of it.
It is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now it'll be harder than it's in person.
Yeah,
a little harder.
No, we're talking about organizing the presentations for the main meetings.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And we already have them scheduled through the end of
yeah.
May.
Yes.
So this half of the year.
But what Sandy's yeah. saying, those are all in person.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when they're online, I found the people were more responsive.
Well, they could be across the country.
Because they could be
join.
Anywhere
yeah.
and give their presentation.
Yeah. It's, we, as I've said 20 million times, we can't, as much as everyone would like to go
oh,
back
no,
to
no.
Zoom.
There's a bill,
meetings.
Though. I sent it to you.
Yes, you did.
I
sent it on to our
I will tell you, though, that we have a pretty
staff.
Routine schedule of who presents. You know, we usually get from somebody from the fire, some from police, you know, fraud, medical stuff, pills, vitamin, that kind. So there's kind of a pattern that we're
well,
sorry
also
out there.
I'll check with the standing committees because they'll have some outstanding presentations
oh,
and they'll
okay.
say,
that's a good one.
"Oh, this should go before."
Oh yeah, that's how
yeah.
we got the OCTAs.
Yeah,
well,
Sandy, I'll chat with you. I'm really better at the nuts and bolts of making sure that. Following up to make sure they're there, not necessarily getting the presenters.
Okay.
That's a good point.
And then,
that's a good team.
Yeah, it is a good team. That's a good team.
In fact, that OCPA one on senior mobility and transportation, she just presented to our city council this last Tuesday. Excellent. So, well, same thing that we got at our meeting. Very good.
I just want a point of clarification. So Dave Tetzlaff is going to be the new secretary?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to put that on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, the full council meeting to confirm him?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Per our bylaws.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
Okay, do we want the member for large? I think that's plenty to give them at this point. Okay, any?
And then, sorry, yes. I know this is another thing I just want to bring up. The at-large members of the committees, there's several at-large members.
You mean non-SCAC members that just joined the committee?
Non-SCAC members.
Yeah. Could be anybody.
Okay, but I'm trying to figure out, they do not constitute the membership of SCAC.
Not of SCAC, but of that standing committee. It's very confusing for people.
Yeah, of the standing committee, but they're not. But here's the thing, there is an item in the bylaws that says that they are, I don't want to say honorary members, but kind of.
There's verbiage.
Of this, the whole SCAC council. And if that's
non-voting?
Yes. Non-voting. They're non-voting members. But nonetheless, they are non-voting members of SCAC. Are they supposed to be receiving agendas?
For their standing committees, they should.
But what about, this is what we're looking into in the bylaws.
No, I would say not for the SCAC general meeting.
No, I would say
they can, but
send them the agenda because you want to encourage them to come to the meeting, see what's being discussed, because that's
they don't know what's going on right now.
Because that's a good training ground for them to then
step
up.
Well, it's a gateway. That is the gateway.
I would concur, because I was on a standing committee, not on SCAC.
Yes, let's do it.
And we never knew what was going on. And we, so even if you had a meeting, we didn't know what date it was, so how could we attend?
Right.
So I think they should receive it, is my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see to it now in the future that you'll receive it.
Got it.
I don't want them second class citizens that they're not getting the. Okay, anything else on that?
No, sorry, thank you.
Okay, the second item is the, and I just heard from John on this, discuss sending four reps from SCAC to participate in the 2023 C4A annual conference to be held
in beautiful Glendale.
And gorgeous Glendale.
Yeah.
John Pointer hit me up and he would like to go.
I
said, I got to bring it to the SCAC group. And okay, there's two. I can't. I've got some going that
you have a conflict? Time frame.
I do.
I'm kidding. You're always everywhere.
Well, yeah, it's hard to split myself.
You guys are talking about my hometown. Just
that's my grandpa.
My hometown
is
Burbank. I was right next door.
See?
Wow.
Yes, I was right next door. We made fun of Glendale.
Are you going?
I'm hoping to, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so let me ask you guys. So we've got John Pointer who wants to go. And then
Meredith. Now I'm close to the ACCOC, Environmental Energy and Water Committee.
Okay, and then I can.
You got to go the whole time for all 3 days?
We should prioritize people that can go.
It's 3 days.
Well, I think members of the executive should definitely be the priority.
Well, you only have up to four.
I mean, that want to go. I don't see a clamoring here, so.
So
I can't. So you got Meredith and you got John. Barbara or Sandy?
I can go if you need me to go, but I don't.
What's the date?
May 9th to the 11th.
That's right after Easter. Oh, no, no.
No. May.
Wednesday, that's Thursday, Friday,
Mother's Day.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, one of those two.
Probably.
Elaine, are you interested?
No.
Okay, so there's your four right there.
Who?
Sandy?
Oh, you know what? No, I can't because my brother's retirement party's in Minneapolis. I'll be gone for the weekend.
Oh, Minneapolis.
Barbara, are you going to come?
I'm checking my calendar. My secretary is not here to handle it.
Well, and all
you have to handle your own calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Well, we can bring this up with the general.
That's what I was going to do.
Let's see
if there's any.
But let them know
anyone
we're only able to take one, so we probably take somebody has.
Well, no, we're taking two.
No. Barbara.
We
right
don't
now.
Know yet.
Two. It could be two. You're right.
Are we gonna? Do we already have hotels booked for the place where the conference is?
I don't No.
I think they do. I think you have to.
I wonder if we're going to be sent somewhere else then because it's late.
Don't know. I'm not even sure we get hotels.
Yeah,
Does anyone know in the past?
Oh, yeah, we always do.
I know in the past I was supposed to go, and I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah, I was going to get a hotel, I know.
But I had to pay for my own hotel.
John doesn't need a hotel, he said. So
yeah. That changes things for me, because I'm not going to drive back and forth to Glendale 3 days in a row if we don't have a hotel.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Well, no. We can get a hotel. We should be able to do that.
I'm checking.
Check on
I'm
that.
Not sure. Things are changing.
Well,
so,
I think that's
checking.
What we need to do. You don't get
I don't think that that's reasonable to ask people to go back and forth.
No.
Well, we have a policy that if there's a conference within a certain amount of miles of where we're working, we don't get hotels.
So even if it's like a 2-hour drive with the traffic?
It doesn't matter. It's all to do with the mileage.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that's not good.
I know when I went from Laguna Niguel to Long Beach, it was on my dime.
Yeah.
That's more reasonable than Glendale for me.
That's more
Whenever
reasonable
I'm,
for,
I'm
for me too.
Time,
I mean, if I'm going, it would be the same
Long
for me.
Beach,
I'd have to drive back and forth.
Without driving,
I would get mileage for it, but I wouldn't
Long
necessarily
Beach,
get
we
a hotel.
The traffic is.
Yeah,
bad.
Why wouldn't you?
From the county?
Yes.
Oh.
That would be considered an expense, a mileage expense, because it's a conference that you've been given permission to go to.
Oh. Well, if we could carpool, you and I could carpool.
We could.
Yeah.
I gotta see what my schedule is, but yes, we could do that.
Okay, so we'll come back.
But
next to the general
meeting. I'm
going to
put this on the general meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. And Barbara, you're a no?
I would prefer to be a no.
Okay.
I would love to be a yes.
Keep in mind, it's up to 4. It doesn't have to be 4.
Yeah, we'll bring it up with our group, and we may just stick with the 2 that we've got here. So. Okay.
Well, and if you know have any idea what the agenda is, there might be a member
of staff
who I want to.
I think they do have the agenda out now.
They're talking about the master plan a lot.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, any more on that? Okay, discuss ideas and suggestions for enhancing SCAC outreach and communication efforts throughout the county. Well, a lot of that comes from our senior folks that are there, but also even among our own members. We talked a little bit about this at the last general, how it's important that one, you meet with your local government where you're at, see what their level of knowledge is and how you can enhance that level of knowledge, attending council meetings, reporting out on what SCAC's done. That's all good stuff and not being done. So, you know, we do it at the end of the year to the county, but I think we should be doing it to each of our cities that we represent. That would be very helpful. And that's something we all can do. Any other thoughts? I mean, like when I had Jacobson speak on senior mobility that OCTA provides, that reaches out to the whole community. People, you know, they were going, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know this. So that's the kind of thing that's a good outreach and shows what we're doing. And it's a good way to say, well, who is this group? Senior Citizens Advisory? Yeah, have you thought about getting on board? In fact, I've got one I've got to follow up on. So there are people that become interested in this.
Is there a way that we could encourage the committees to each try to recruit one person? You know, especially
different
cities.
You can always ask, and the trouble is when you make it generic like that, everybody feels that somebody else will take care of it, not them. So you almost have to say, hey, you know, can this committee, and then however your chair decides to put the responsibility.
We should wait till our bylaws are.
Well, that's true too. Yeah.
The reason I think this was put on the agenda was since I have come on as the liaison to this group, it has come to my attention that there are people who not follow the bylaws, but really engage with their communities and really go out there and try to spread the word about what SCAC does, what the Office on Aging does, what the county does. And there are those who are not so forthcoming in doing that. Anyone that sits on this committee, you're all on it for a reason. Everybody is on it because they want to do something with seniors. There's a certain process that has to be followed. There are bylaws that have to be adhered to. If that's not happening, then the committee slowly, I don't want to say dies, but the committee slowly kind of becomes less effective. The message doesn't get out there. And we really need to, if everyone on this committee, not this committee, but the committee at large, is serious about, you know, doing stuff and getting stuff done and not being, you know, well, all we have is presentations and, you know, we have to travel all the way to Santa Ana and get bored with being on this committee.
You know, the poster kids for that are Crystal Miles and Denise Barnes. They're very good about getting good information out to their community, meeting with their groups, getting information back and sharing that both ways.
Well, and that's the thing.
We need to do more of that.
That's the thing. It has to be shared both ways. You guys are ambassadors for the county to be able to go out there and say, come back to us. You're supposed to be reporting back to the county to say, this is what we're hearing out there, so that the board can think about that, develop policy if need be, you know, and that's not really happening right now.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's a function of the senior center liaison. So maybe they need to be given specific directions. You need to do this, you need to, you know, give them the tools or the job description. And
but Elaine, it's not just the senior centers.
I know, but that could be added to it if you want them to engage with their city councils, with their city senior citizens committee.
That's what they should be. It's in the bylaws right now. That's what they should be doing.
Right.
They should be, there's people who are in different cities throughout Orange County. Look up when your council meeting is. Go and ask if you can take your 3 minutes at the podium and say, hey, I'm here to talk about the Senior Citizens Advisory Council. Mm-hmm. Here's what we do. We can help prepare a script, you know, that they can give. And
you know, we should do that, because I know many of our group are very intimidated by going to a council meeting or speaking at the dais or at the lectern. So if we could do that and kind of practice, show them, hey, here's how we can do this, and then say, okay, can somebody report out when they went to their council meeting and how that went, kind of thing. I think that's a great way to go, because that is pushing the information out there. And they're going to see how it's a sponge. People want to hear this stuff.
Well, and also engaging with the staff, the Parks and Rec director, the city manager. You know, what are the issues in your cities right now pertaining to seniors? And then reporting back, us collating the information and being able to disseminate, okay, here's what we're hearing. You know, is this a need that's unmet?
That's great homework for your
all of you, the whole committee, every single one of you.
Okay, we want you each to go to contact your city manager or your park and rec director, whoever has senior citizen responsibility for the city. What are their issues? How can we help? What do you hear? What's going on? And that's where you use these people to get out there. Use your folks to go out there and make those contacts. So it's not just coming to a meeting once a month where they're getting bored. Here's what we want you to do. Trust me, that'll unbore you real quick.
But then we also let them to know we're going to take all that information and put it together and then make a presentation to the Board of Supervisors. This is what the senior citizens in Orange County are saying their needs are.
Well, you guys are supposed to be putting together an annual report, which should get done. It's in the bylaws, it has to get done. Because otherwise, I don't want board members coming to me saying, what is SCEC doing?
Yeah.
You know, we haven't heard.
Again, we were waiting to get our bylaws done so we could tell you what SCEC's doing.
We're having conversations that really actually need to go kind of sequentially in my opinion, and now we're going like this.
Which is why we are like this with, what do I do? So all these are gonna be answered, but we need to start with the basic first, getting our bylaws squared away. Here's what we're not committed to, this is what we're gonna do. And that will now lead to how we can give an effective report to the council, to the county supervisors.
Right, but be that as it may, I agree with both of you. This committee should really look at how it is engaging with the residents of Orange County. That's why you're here for a purpose. It's not being done to the point where people are feeling they've accomplished something, that they want to do stuff, as opposed to coming. I've heard things, you have the same presentation all over again, at one committee or another. You know, people are not quite sure. We're trying to battle through that. Why do we still have to go back to in-person meetings? You know, if this committee is serious about what it does, its functions, its purpose, its responsibility, then and getting that information out there so we have this collaboration, we need to work on outreach and communications.
What's sad is that the meeting should just be the cherry on the Sunday. The Sunday should be all the work that you're talking about that takes place out in the community that people are doing. when we report out at our meetings, that should be up here. It almost like that has become the goal, the meeting and the presentation. That's not the goal.
And I think, as you were both saying, when we have the bylaws in place, I think there'll be a little bit more clarity as to what the roles are going to be going forward. Hopefully, you know, we can all have that discussion. And I think we have one more meeting next week to kind of finalize.
Yeah, see, we can clearly make ourselves, I know Meredith, myself, or whoever wants to, available to you folks if you have a group that you want us to go speak to and say, hey, can you explain, I've got a women's club, or I got a Rotary Club, or I got a group of citizens that would like to meet and find out what does SCAC do, what are the senior issues in our area? We'd be more than happy to do that.
And there's a lot, it's not like just getting to the senior centers and the city councils. That is a huge part of it. But also, there are the smaller communities within the communities that probably half of us don't even know about.
Well, I know a lot of it's online. So that's the other thing that we're really missing out on is if you go to South Orange County Moms, and the Laguna Niguel City Facebook page, people are asking questions about how to care for their older adults constantly, and they're totally clueless.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you would go to put an announcement.
But I answer a lot of their questions.
We're going to do a coffee class. We're going to go over
but
here.
But she's making a really valid point. We should be more.
I direct people to the Office on Aging all the time online.
Good for you. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what we have a whole INA department
for. I feel like that's a lot of my role, too, is online.
Sure, and that's, I'm not saying it's just like going in person to people, but communicating. Now, some people may feel uncomfortable communicating online because we're always telling, especially our older adults, be careful what you get into and what you give and so forth.
I am a face-to-facer. I don't like online.
Yeah. There's multi-channels of communication.
Absolutely.
You have to cover all of them.
Especially when seniors, I mean, really, it's such a broad age range.
Yes.
And so we do need to address all those different types of communication. But if you're saying the first step is the bylaws, when can we expect to have the bylaws? Because we're already in March.
Well, it's a six-month process.
Well, we've spent about 10 hours on it so far, I would say. So Pauline's probably spent 80 hours
Ask Pauline.
So it's probably going to be more of a draft kind of thing before we ever get to the final?
Well, the process is going to be, like, we have one more meeting next week. Right now, I've got a redline version, and I have a clean copy with all of the proposed changes to it. So we're going to meet, the bylaws ad hoc is going to meet next week to kind of put the finishing touches on that. From that point, it will then go to Claudia and Renee.
Well, it'll go to our general, won't it?
Not before it goes to Claudia and Renee. It will go to Claudia and Renee first. Okay. So because there are changes that OOA has put in there, not just what's been recommended. So it's going to go to both of them for their review. Once we have their sign off on it, then it will go to the full committee. So I'm hoping by June, by the end of May, we will have that done.
But then after it goes to SCAC, then doesn't it need to go to county council?
Correct. It will go to county council. It goes to SCAC, it goes to county council. I haven't even thought about that part of the review yet and timeline, because there's so much coming up with the master plan for aging and everything else. So. We are hoping, and then we're dark in June, so I am hoping that we can start the process of a county council to the board by the third quarter of this year. That's the plan. We're going to be halfway through, we're going to be three quarters
way through. Well, that's why we have it on our April agenda, though, to talk about our goals for this year, so we're not waiting for that.
No, we're not waiting for the bylaws.
Okay, good, because I find that very concerning if we're waiting for that first step.
No. The bylaws are...
We have the bylaws on for next month.
The bylaws are as they stand right now, and will be in effect. We spoke about, you know, there is a current directive in the bylaws that you prepare a report on your goals and stuff, so... that's
I think
going
a good starting point is to review what we recommended last year and see where those things are at.
That'd be a good start.
That's a good start. I know in the past, though, the county supervisors have been hesitant to, I guess, maybe give us a written report back.
With the Office on Aging staff, because we had those like five ideas that we recommended to the county.
Right.
And they're still... valid, in my opinion.
It's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at what they are.
What we recommended last time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then see, you know, what, if anything, has been done.
Right.
You know, and if not, why not?
And that's part of the loop that I think that members are looking for too. They want to know what happened.
Yeah, and I will tell you, the hiccup in this is all going to be the master plan for aging, because that is a humongous process right now. And we're, that needs assessment is going to be covering every single aspect of helping. What do we see in the next 5 to 10 years for older adults as they age, not only when they're in what technically would be a senior 60 and above, but how are they planning from 20 and upwards?
We're all aging every day.
You know, so it's covering, it's covering the gamut, you know, of everything that goes into aging and planning for aging. And it starts when you're in your 20s and 30s, not when you're in your 50s and 60s.
That's a big picture, but I think what Meredith said is hitting the nail on the head, that we need probably an audit ad hoc committee, somebody that's going to sit down with a group of us and say, okay, what have we accomplished? What did we get these goals? Did the county act on these, or what didn't they act on? What was relevant? What was irrelevant? So that needs to occur. I don't think we need to wait for a bylaw change for that.
No, that's what she was saying. No, we're putting it on the agenda for April to have a discussion with the entire group, and it'll be a robust discussion. You know, and I am hoping we can. Well, I'll send out what we provided to the board last year, so people can do their homework and start reading up on it and give it some thought before we get to the meeting.
Well, one, thank you guys for that many hours you're putting in. That's amazing.
And that's the labor needed. Of love.
I don't think my husband would agree with you.
But Tom, no, we speak very highly of him and his patience.
Maybe we'll have to buy him a drink or dinner or something.
Yeah, our ad hoc committee is planning on going out when we're done.
And we'll invite,
so we'll invite Dave.
There you go.
It's all about the fun. There you go. I like
well,
that.
Well, it's about for me, it's about getting stuff done. I mean, I don't want to kind of see the committee.
Perfect.
I don't want to see the committee. It saddens me when I hear members going, I'm not going to bother going anymore. We just have presentations, I've heard them all before.
We have lots of hope for the future. That's, just need to get everything organized.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get it. You're right.
I think, you know, it was the COVID lull that just kind of got everyone
dampened
that. And now it's,
and I
also think some people have reassessed where they want to put their time.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And we have some people that have continued to age during their time on these committees, and they no longer can participate in the same way.
And that's true. That happens.
Yeah.
It's to be expected.
And for some of us, aging stopped, huh?
What's your secret, Elaine?
Modern medicine and drugs. Yeah, that'll do it. Okay, talk about chair's report. New business. Well, we kind of already discussed all that and old business.
Yeah.
I would just say that we got to just stay the course. We got to be patient. I know it's hard for folks to say, I've been patient for years. Okay. We when you hear our reports, there's actual action items being done. It's happening. Attend one of the committee meetings. You want to see what's being done. So, because I get it, they get frustrated. We keep taking care of their needs. Okay, you don't have to mess with that 8 hour anymore. That's pretty simple done. So, I mean, you still do it, but you do it right there. It seems to work.
Right.
How are we doing on the membership that attend? There are a few that seems like they're never attend. Oh, that's you down there. Okay, I'll get that in a minute. Okay, let's go. Let's go to the standing committee updates.
Yeah, so I think that is an issue. I know that Rachel has been telling me that she's having trouble getting people to come here in person and to meet quorum, right? So I think that, you know, speaking and tagging on to what we just discussed, the transition back to in-person has been hard for people with their schedules and the idea of doing the drives. And this also dovetails into some of the thoughts that we're having at the ad hoc committee. I don't know if that's too far afield to talk about that right now, but condensing the committees so that people have fewer meetings to go to and they can put all of their energy into fewer drive times.
Where do you want to have that kind of discussion? I mean, it starts here, but do we need to go to the general with that?
It'll be part of our recommendations.
Part of the bylaws.
So, wait a minute, condensing the committees to have fewer meetings. What I guess I just condense which committees, because each person is on, they should just be on one standing committee.
Mm-hmm. And SCAC.
And SCAC. So you might have the standing committees meet at the same time as SCAC. Or dovetailing
things together. That's one of the thoughts that we're going to be discussing.
You mean have the standing committee meeting the same day as the SCAC?
Have a longer SCAC meeting.
Yeah, if you're here, they hang on and they go into two different rooms to go to two different committee meetings.
Okay.
That would be one thing to do. once you're already here, so you bite the bullet once.
Or have everyone be on a larger committee that meets for longer. But we're just thinking about, I don't think that, that's one of the things I think that's happened with the pandemic. Sandy, you can, you're on the committee too. People don't want to go to multiple meetings throughout the month and drive around the county.
Well, not even just the driving. Yeah. I think even when we were at home with Zoom,
yeah,
myself included, because I had always been on a standing committee and now I'm on SCAC, to me, some of the presentations were getting redundant because I'd hear it at the big committee and then I'd hear it at the subcommittee. And it's nothing wrong with hearing it again, but it's just sort of like, well, we already did that.
And also people want to have, what the other thing that we're hearing is that people want to have input in all sectors, not just on a third of things, and then they don't know what's happened at the other meetings.
That's a good point.
So those are the things that we're thinking of to modernize how we're kind of working. Maybe we want to have everyone involved in all the topics and meet longer on one day. That's a good idea.
And I think this, the bylaws currently allow and says it's part of the executive committee to stand up or stand down a subcommittee.
Right.
You know, review and see if it's working, if it's effective, if it's not, if it needs to be, mm-hmm. you know, stood down.
So those are, that's kind of where our ad hoc committee is going, is that we want to bring everyone together to have more meaningful, robust discussions that are not bifurcated. Now, is this ad hoc committee that's separate from the bylaws committee?
No, it's the bylaws committee. It's the bylaws ad hoc committee.
And I think it came up too when not so much housing and transportation, but the other two committees were having a really hard time recruiting people to be on the committee.
Yeah.
And Meredith said there were a lot of comments coming in about.
I don't know,
do they? Thank you.
So that was that's how, I think, how we started talking about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are also confused. So I've been trying to recruit people for the last year. People get confused if they're a part of SCAC, if they're just part of a committee, if they're part of both. Trying to promote what we're doing to get new people involved is hard the way it's set up now.
Well, and the other thing too, I think, is when we look at the bylaws, those committees, housing and transportation, senior citizens engagement, and
health and nutrition,
well-being.
Yeah.
Are those meetings being conducted, and are they covering the functions and the purpose that's associated with each of those committees?
The ones I've attended, when I was attending those, they were. Mm-hmm.
They were
focused.
Okay, so what has come up in the goals and the reports for what we're doing on
S Barbara,
you know,
right?
Well, you know, when I started chairing the health and
wellness reimagined.
Yeah, I hate that.
Well-being reimagined, I guess that's what it's called.
Yeah,
well, that's what they chose.
No, it was before me. I was in marketing. I'd never choose that as the tag.
Yeah.
I got the impression that we were only there to come up with something to present to the Board of Supervisors for the following year.
That was the main goal.
Yeah.
And what was that?
Oh, we did a whole paper on adult day services as part of our committee and had a recommendation. We worked really hard.
And that went to the county?
Yeah.
No, it didn't.
Because we didn't have that. The workshop this year.
No, that was last year. No, that was last year, but it didn't make the five recommendations.
So then that
committee felt deflated.
Thank you.
Ooh.
So that committee felt like they did all that work and then nothing happened.
Right.
And I understand that.
Because somebody who is a professional in the field who is on our committee said, oh no, don't want to do it that way. We can just do this.
No, that's not how I remember it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you're younger than me.
We worked a lot on it. We put a lot of heart and soul on it. Barbara did, I did, and then it turned out it wasn't under the auspices exactly of the county. It would have to be state funding.
Oh, right.
And
that's
so,
what it was.
And so then the committee felt like,
people
worked really hard.
But see, and that's what I think.
Yeah.
If we're gonna look at the committees, couple of things need to happen. If you're going to merge everything into one, identify the topics that are really, really important to this county, that the county has control
over. Yeah, that you shouldn't and be discussing anything that the county that is not within the purview of the county.
Correct, yeah. Correct.
That was our problem.
This committee is to serve the county.
Correct.
But the subcommittees at that time did not have that level of acumen, and people had really good intentions. So we just need to bring everything together.
We need to, that's, I think if you condense it into one meeting, robust,
where everyone's on the same
standing
page.
Topics
yep.
mm-hmm. on that, I think you'll have a better engagement.
Which also means we need to get a hold of our supervisors too, and they're very tough. Their meetings, trust me, I've been working on, my colleague is chief of staff for Wagner, and it's tough to get him pinned down.
Well, or maybe if each meeting had a specific topic, then that helps you with your presentation, and then the full SCAC is then engaged in that.
So this is how we're brainstorming right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so the key goes back to the word subcommittee.
Another veteran out there.
No.
He's here for an interview.
Oh.
So subcommittee, you feel, I don't know if the word is inferior, but a lower level or whatever, or you don't have the full oomph. That's
you
where
mean
I look.
Standing committees?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sub, when you say sub, standing, it all means the same. You're not at the top.
Yeah. So when we get around to getting the bylaws into some shape or fashion to where we can share it with the committee, I think there should be only one item on the agenda for that committee meeting, because this is going to take a lot of discussion.
Okay, let's do it.
April's packed right now. We're not going to have anything in time for April, but maybe May.
Maybe May. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we need to bring that up with our general and let them build that expectation. This is where we're going to cover this. So
yeah, but and it's worth thinking. I'm not comfortable with saying May right now, because there is.
We have to follow the process.
I'm targeting that, but there is a process that has to be followed.
Well, we need to say something to our group, and maybe not.
Meredith can give an update on, we're working on it, we're close, mm-hmm. we have a draft.
That'll work,
you know,
that's fine.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Yeah, so okay. I guess that we got a little bit off track here, but the standing committees, so they're struggling with quorum, with having people come back. Even longstanding members that have heard that the law has changed are asking why they can't Zoom in. So that's kind of...
Well, we didn't have quorum on Monday.
We didn't.
Right.
We didn't.
And quorum's 25% plus one.
Wow. Right.
So things have just changed. We've all changed. The world has changed.
Yes.
We're going to change too.
And we're going to change along right with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to. We've become obsolete.
Yeah.
Well, now these meetings that are no longer Zoom now require you to travel. Mm-hmm. And so where you could get two or three meetings in, you can't now. Which would account for why people are missing meetings.
Well, and there's also like the thing, like you guys get your stipend a month. Right now, I don't think it probably even covers gas, you know, with the price of gas and everything for everything. So to ask people to come up to three or four, you know, meetings.
It doesn't even cover a tip. It's almost like, why don't you just keep it? No, I get it, but I mean.
Gladly, Gene. I'll write that down.
No.
Gene volunteers.
It probably needs to be upgraded, so. Like with everything else.
I have a question. Yes, I don't know the relevancy of it, but
relevant if you have a question.
Pardon?
It's always relevant if you have a question.
Thank you. My question is, any of our SCAC committees concerned with senior homelessness?
Well, that's housing and transportation, that group.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay, so that.
Yes.
And if you talk to the senior centers, getting back to our early conversation, I've talked to people that are serving the Meals on Wheels and staffing, and they have a lot of people experiencing homelessness at the senior centers, so that could be one of our priorities as we all get together.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of which, senior center liaison, Evelyn's not here. Did she report out anything to you, Pauline? Do you know?
She did not. I haven't heard from her.
I know she's doing it, but I'm not sure too.
She hasn't been able to come for the last few meetings.
Well, that's because she does senior stuff that same time. So it's not like she's not.
I know, but that doesn't still work.
Well, it doesn't work for us.
Right,
but, just know that that's what she's doing. She says, hey, I've got this, and this way it is senior related, so.
Because we need to communicate.
Maybe we could send her, if she can't make it, give us an update, some type of, something written. You know, a written report. and members in good standing.
She was here in February.
What's that?
She was here in February.
Yeah.
So.
It just seems like it's longer that she's not here.
She wasn't able to make the last
right.
big meeting, yeah.
Members in good standing, speaking of which, Dave Tesla is not here to report on that, so we have no clue.
No, and I'm taking a look at the sheet on that. And we're not talking just executive committee, we're talking the full council as well. I'm kind of doing an analysis of that right now.
Okay. And I think some members don't understand, even though it's been covered a number of times, with the current bylaws, there's no such thing as an excused absence.
Right.
Right. And I see that all that. I look back on previous times, she's not like, EA, what the heck is
well,
EA?
Well, that means excuse that they're absence? Doing senior related, so they're not physically
there. Yeah, but no, but according to the bylaws, and the bylaws we're operating under
they're
are the ones
clear.
That the Board of Supervisors said this is how it needs
yep.
to be.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no
be
excuse day, either you're here or you're not, because even if you're excused, you're not doing the work of the committee.
That's right, yeah. yeah.
Exactly. So it's like right now the bylaws say if you miss three consecutive meetings, or half of the meetings during a calendar year. You know, so if you miss three in a row right now, you're automatically off.
So Evelyn has one more to go.
You know,
yeah.
so.
Yeah, we have no, we'll, yeah, we'll be there eliminating people, no question about it, but I'm not sure that's a threat to some people, to know, mercifully. So we need to pay attention to that.
Well, and also at the staff end here as well, in fairness to those people, they should be given a heads up. If they miss two meetings and the third meeting you're out, after the second meeting, there should be a heads up given to them.
Yes.
A letter going
you know,
through.
That says, hey, you've missed two meetings. If you don't show up in the next one, you will, you know, per the bylaws, automatically vacate your seat.
Yeah, we have to, I want the wording on that right, though. Not that way. It would be more, hey, you know, if your priorities have changed, we certainly understand if you're busier now, but our bylaws are specified by this. And if you're not able to make that commitment, just give us a heads
Holly,
up, no problem.
Take a look at the current bylaws because the last time we changed. We had to change it a couple of times, but I believe it was for SCAC 3, and then you got a letter, and then if you missed the fourth.
There's nothing in the bylaws that says that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we know the bylaws really well.
Trust me, I can.
Okay. I'm sure you do.
That was
yeah, I
probably,
I have gone back
that was
to
probably an operating policy that we did.
Well, we had to change our bylaws at the directives of the Board of Supervisors twice in 1 year, so I might have,
oh boy.
Well, we have,
version
yeah, and this one, I have three sets of bylaws in front of me. I have the template that was approved by the board, I have the current set of bylaws, and I have the ones that, the red line version of it. So I'm going back and forth between, this is
three.
What the county council says and the board approved, and this language cannot be changed. You know,
okay.
It has to remain in there.
And
then here's where we have some leeway, this is what we did, and then, do we want to keep that or move it out? But there's nothing, trust
okay.
me. Yeah, okay. I looked at
but
that.
The whole goal is for the bylaws to be as efficient and impactful as possible when we're moving forward.
It is, I mean,
yeah.
that is.
Efficient and impactful.
Right, exactly, okay. exactly. So, and another thing too, we can't keep running back to the Board of Supervisors mm-hmm. every other year with changes to the bylaws.
No.
You know, that's
well,
not effective.
Well, and the times
that.
We change
that.
It, the two times we change it, 1 year, it was at their direction,
right?
That we wanted to.
Right, because they wanted to try and streamline for the 85 committees that they have. They wanted to try and streamline the process. So, because all the bylaws were, they were all over the place. They were all different, so.
I know. I
well,
like
the nice thing for them is they don't have to attend ours. They attend a lot of meetings. Ours is one of them. They could.
At the same time I was chairing SCAC, I was always also chairing the library advisory board.
Yeah.
I love their bylaws. 2 pages.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Why can't we? So simple.
Well, I mean.
Simplicity would be
in
nice.
The history, in trying to, well, I've talked to you, trying to go back and assess how some of the information actually got into the bylaws. I have
it was
yet
like the
to
kitchen
find.
Sink. People
who,
would just be like, what's that
when did this get put in? When did it, you know?
You know how that happens, and I'll tell you why, and I hope you guys are looking at that. You have bylaws, then you have operating procedures, two separate. Operating procedures go into the nuts and bolts of stuff that we do. Hey, we're going to meet here, we're going to meet there, these are days. That's not in the bylaws. Bylaws should say, you only meet once a month. This will say, you know, that it'll
yeah.
be, we're going to meet on Fridays for this and whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we've looked at all that.
Okay,
and
good,
I've looked at
good.
Bylaws from other counties as well.
Because I would like to see
you
ours.
Know, and some
I agree.
Of them.
We have to have this down. There's there's no reason, Elaine, that this should be that thick. Let's get it down.
Yeah, but there's 19 pages in our bylaws, right?
Way too many. 18
pages in our bylaws.
Way too many.
We're down to 16, I think.
Now, let's make it a goal at 9.
No, we can do that piece of it.
We're pretty much done. I want to cover everything for this committee
down.
And committees to come. Not saying that there will never be any changes to
you
the
have
bylaws.
You have to leave in things about standing committees, even so that, you know, in 5 years, if they want
exactly.
to back, they can do it without changing the bylaws.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So we've got to think beyond just
But you don't
this.
Have to lay out how, what, you say standing committees. You then go, they'll consist of this, and this is their
yeah.
goal.
Yeah, yeah. You don't
yeah.
have to redo it later.
Yeah, no, well, it did say that it's each year the executive committee determines what the standing committee
Correct.
Is.
And we shall annually review
right.
the standing committees.
So then you can change them from year to year.
Yes, or well, not
yeah.
have
review
any.
Review mean change? We can review and change?
You can. You
yeah.
can you can
okay.
continue it, change it,
okay.
do whatever the
but
case may be.
But we're recommending that we try it out with just one big committee.
Okay.
But when you try it out as one big committee, then what do you do with the members of the standing committees who are not SCAC
They can
members?
Be members of the public or they can apply to be SCAC members.
Okay. But yeah. I mean, that needs to be made clear to them.
Yes.
Not that we're just...
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
but a
yeah.
lot of them don't understand how it's all working right now
no,
either.
No, they don't.
So...
No.
Yeah.
No, it's been
well,
an eye-opener
we have to
for me.
I've
seen people at meetings
right,
and I'm like...
Exactly.
I'm looking at my thing and they're sitting at the table. I'm going... Okay, why are they sitting at the table?
Because no one understands. It's too complicated
yeah.
for.
It is too
complicated.
Yeah. We need to simplify this.
Yeah.
It really is too
yeah.
complicated.
Yeah.
And that's the only group that I have that kind of issue with. It's amazing. It's just.
Well, I think communication.
We need a flowchart right now.
Communication is key, too. You know, and being able to, you know, as Elaine said, you don't want people to think that. Thank you very much. See you later. Bye. You know, but when someone comes in, if you do need the expertise of someone to come in, say, hey, kind of like an ad hoc, you know. Any chance you could come for the next 3 or 4 meetings, you know, because we're going to be discussing this and we may need your input on it. Or two
sure.
or three meetings, whatever the case may be. You know, so.
It'll be good. We're getting there.
Okay.
We're
getting there.
Let's get to announcements.
Yeah.
I think we've pretty much done the announcements. Anyone have any announcements edition that we haven't beat up yet?
Mm-hmm. Barbara, any announcements?
She's just happy to be here.
No. I'll
okay.
simplify it.
Perfect.
Elaine, how about you and any?
No.
No, I don't have any.
I do. I wanted to say that when I was in Sacramento, that the workforce crisis continues to get worse, so that's also something that we might want to be thinking about.
What crisis?
Crisis.
Workforce.
Which crisis is that?
You mean like not enough
caregiving
people?
That works won't work if we have no paid and unpaid caregivers.
Gotcha.
And that's getting worse across the state right now.
Is there a certification process still?
We don't have enough people that live in California. For every one job that's open, there's only like 0.7 workers that are even looking for a job.
Is part of that the cost of living here?
No, it's the demographics. We have fewer people in younger generations and a bunch of people that are in the baby boom that retired.
Hence the Anna Nicole's of the world.
You keep coming back to her.
Well, that's how it happens.
At the lower end of the pay scale, that there's the shortage? Because
it's also management, too.
Okay, because completely different industry is the restaurants are having a huge problem.
Yes.
I know
yes.
there's some in our city that they can't open during lunch.
Exactly.
There's no help.
Yes.
They
right.
cannot
that's
hire
a
anybody.
Younger person's mindset change.
Yeah.
They no longer want, why should I do that?
But there's not enough younger people. It's not just the mindset. There's just not enough younger people.
Well, they can't afford to live in lunch.
Well, and also.
But they don't even exist. People don't have as much children.
And there are more people leaving California.
Yep.
Yeah, but there are more coming in undocumented, so we should
yeah,
have
but
some.
Yeah, keep in mind, there's 40 million people that live here, and we lost 1 million. Big deal.
Ooh.
That's nothing.
Yeah, but
out of 40 million?
In what area?
So anyhow, for our committee, we need to be concerned about this because aging services providers can't hire staff.
So
that's
we're
true.
Still getting older, but no one to take care of us. Is that the deal?
I know there were people during...
So that's going to be... I'm,
oh,
sorry,
there were people
ahead.
During COVID that had long-term care that they qualified for, that they paid for,
yeah.
and they were dying of cancer. They couldn't find anyone to care for them. How would you like that? You pay all that money and you're dying and there's nobody. They said, sorry, we can't find anybody.
Okay, no.
Well, that explains why this committee, SCAC, is needed because of that. That's why we're
wouldn't
here.
That be awful?
Well, yeah, and one of the initiatives that we had forwarded to the board was on the training for a, what's the word I'm looking for? For caretakers. Mm-hmm. And to provide scholarships and increase the number of people who are being trained.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be competing against other industries.
Yeah, restaurants.
I'm hearing a plethora of issues, can't so we should not have a problem identifying what we need to study.
You know, a lot of times the immigrant community goes to some of those
lower
level paying jobs. Is there something we should be doing with, and I don't know how you
Well, nationally,
do that.
We need to have more immigrants for caregiving. Yeah, that's a federal issue.
Yeah, and also there's the issue of, you know, social services, and, you know, if you're getting paid more to stay home, why would you go out and work?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're good at identifying the problems, right?
But mostly it's a demographic issue.
Solving them is the issue.
I want the solutions here. Okay. Well, I think we are adjourned.
So what's the bad news?
Our next meeting is April
28th.
9:30. 28th. Here.
28th.
Be here.
Yes, please be here.
I like this room.
I do
really
too.
Nice, isn't it?
Very
and
nice.
I like, I have to say, I do like this being back in person, because you can't get this type of dialogue on a small little screen. You know, it's just, it's nice. So are we adjourned?
Is it Carolyn?
Jean?
Carolyn resigned, so it'll be Dave later.
Yes, we are resigned. We are adjourned.
Carolyn resigned. And Jean's having second thoughts.
Well, no, this is good. I knew it was going to be a challenge this year to get